Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes presented by Kroll & Mooring. We're your co-hosts, Peter Ayer and David Robbins, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts, legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. So we start with cost accounting news. On July 17th, 2018, the CAS board published a final rule revising the CAS exemption for contracts or subcontracts for the acquisition of commercial items. Prior to this rule, the CAS commercial item exemption enumerated specific types of contracts available for commercial item procurements and therefore exempt from CAS. However, as statutory changes expanded the types of contracts authorized for commercial item procurements, the CAS regulations had to be amended several times. The FAR also includes an enumerated list of the contract types authorized for use in acquiring commercial items at FAR 12.207, a provision which has similarly been amended over the years to reflect statutory changes. The final rule eliminates the need for such revisions to the CAS regulation going forward, and also eliminates any inconsistency between the FAR and CAS by removing the CAS regulation's enumeration of the eligible contract types and inserting instead a broad cross-reference. The CAS commercial item exemption will now refer simply to open quote contracts and subcontracts authorized in 48 CFR 12.207 for the acquisition of commercial items, close quote. David, over to you.
Thanks, Peter. Moving on to artificial intelligence news. On June 27th, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Patrick Shanahan, issued a memorandum ordering the establishment of the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center within DoD. According to the memorandum, DoD Chief Information Officer will establish the Joint AI Command, JAIC, with the aim of swiftly introducing new capabilities and experimenting with new operational concepts in support of DoD's warfighting missions and business functions. Specifically, the goals of the JAIC are to accelerate the delivery of AI capabilities, scale the DoD-wide impact of AI, and synchronize DoD activities to expand joint force advantages. DoD anticipates that the JAIC will achieve these goals by developing and executing national mission initiatives in partnership with the Joint Staff, DoD components and mission owners, leveraging national mission initiatives and DoD cloud adoption to establish a DoD foundation for execution in AI, and collaborating within the DoD across government and other third parties to strengthen partnerships, highly critical needs, solve problems of urgent operational significance, and adapt AI technologies for DoD missions, and working with OSD components and other relevant organizations to develop a governance framework and standards for AI development and delivery. As with anything else, this is in its earliest stages at the implementation establishment stage, and what results bears watching. But this is a pretty ambitious agenda for a hot topic like AI, and one we will be watching. Moving on to something a little more perhaps routine, protest news. In a modern twist on the late is late rule, we all know that GAO has moved to the Electronic Protest Docketing System, or EPDS. Sometimes EPDS has technical difficulties. Well, GAO dismissed as untimely CWIS LLC's protest of a housing and urban development sole source justification recently under the modern day application of late is late. If EPDS goes down and you can't get the protest in timely, you're still late and GAO will not take it up. So I guess the lesson is don't file at the last minute, folks. Yes. Peter, back to you.
Indeed, that is the lesson. So now we shift to some audit news. So on July 17th, GAO released its new version of the Generally Accepted Government Accounting Standards, which is commonly known as the Yellow Book. Auditors of federal, state, local government programs use this Yellow Book to perform their audits and produce their reports. It also becomes a useful touch point for other types of audit protocols that are used by government contractors and others. The 2018 version supersedes the 2011 revision. The revisions contain a number of major developments that reinforce principles of transparency and accountability and strengthen the framework for high-quality government audits. There are a few changes that are particularly noteworthy. We'll just mention a couple. First, the peer review standard is modified to require that audit organizations comply with their respective affiliated organizations' peer review requirements. And second, the independent standard is expanded to state that preparing financial statements from a client-provided trial balance or underlying accounting records generally creates significant threats to auditor independence. and that auditors should document those threats and safeguards applied to eliminate and reduce threats to an acceptable level or decline to perform the service. So that's certainly something that those in the audit field need to pay attention to. And David, we'll turn it over to you to close with Court of Federal Claims news.
Thank you, Peter. On July 16th, COFC released a decision in Acetris Health LLC versus United States, concluding that a drug could qualify as a U.S.-made end product under the Trade Agreements Clause, despite a Customs and Border Protection ruling under the TAA that the drug had not been substantially transformed in the United States. And that's the usual test for when a product from a designated country is eligible for sale in the United States under the TAA. The court concluded that a drug which met the definition of a domestic end product would also qualify as a U.S.-made end product and enjoined the Veterans Administration from relying on the CBP ruling in declaring the product ineligible. In doing so, the court has given effect to often overlooked language in FAR 25.003's definition of U.S.-made end product that allows either an item manufactured in the United States or an item substantially transformed in the United States to be eligible for sale to the federal government. The decision opens the door, or may open the door, for manufactured commercial off-the-shelf or COTS items to be potentially eligible under the TAA as long as final assembly occurs in the United States without regard to the source of a COTS product's components. And it might have a broader implication because the FAR has never included an express definition of manufacture, and the definition of U.S.-made end product does not expressly reference the definition of domestic end product, under which, in the Buy American context, manufacture is just one of two elements. So, ultimately, what does this mean, right? This is an interesting opening from the Court of Federal Claims. We're going to be watching closely how it evolves and how it's developed over time. It may open up a lot more opportunity for contractors to sell to the United States government, or this might be one of those one-off decisions that's sort of an oddball. This one bears really close watching for anyone in the business. What do you think? Any other thoughts on that?
No, I think that's right. The thing from my perspective that jumps out this week is really on the artificial intelligence and what the government is doing to try to drive that forward across a couple different agencies. There's a strong desire to really get into that field. And I think the government is really trying to lean forward and figure out how to incorporate AI and AI offerings into existing products, existing needs. And a lot of contractors are out there trying to figure out how to sell into that space. So a lot of interesting stuff this week.
Very much so. We didn't have time to cover all the sort of cybersecurity related policy enhancements and developments, but as you can imagine, that goes hand in hand with things like expanding the use of AI and securing the networks on which they operate and the way in which that business is done. So tremendous opportunity out there for all. I guess that's all for this edition. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. In the meantime, if you need anything, I can be reached at 202-624-2627 and Peter at 202-624-2807. Have a great week.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.